Let's turn in God's Word to Genesis and chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. And in our time, we'll be reading verses 1 through 28, the whole chapter in Genesis 45. God's people, these are the words of God, so let's give our attention to them. Genesis 45, verse 1. These words are infallible, they cannot err. So let us give praise to God as we read. These are His words. And Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, "Joseph's brethren have are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lay your beasts, and go get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours." And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons, according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, "See that ye fall not out by the way." And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, "Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And those are his words. We left the last chapter where Judah was interceding for Benjamin, seeking to be surety on his behalf, or stand in his place on his behalf, and to save him and allow Benjamin to return home, lest his father die from grief. And upon this appeal, and because of this appeal, hearing it, we see in this chapter, Joseph could not contain himself any longer before them, and he wept. Everyone was dismissed, and there only was Joseph and his brothers alone, by which he revealed himself as their brother. Verses 3 and 4, calling them. You see in verse 5, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." And also in verse 8, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." This was all in the plan of the Lord and in His providence. And He sent Joseph in order to save for Himself a people, as He promised to Abraham, that would from him would come a multitude of nations. This is the way, even through great evil, great sin on the brother's part. And here we see, beloved, the most precious of reunions of a family. All that started because of sin. And yet repentance and forgiveness, we see, does what? It unites. We saw the repentance in the last chapter from the brothers. We see the forgiveness from Joseph here. And that unites people. And from verses 16 through 24, Pharaoh learns of this news. He celebrates with Joseph, calling all of Jacob's household to be brought up and given the good land of Goshen there in Egypt as property. And this brought great joy to Jacob, we see. Of course, the joy is more that his son is alive. Joseph is alive. And this, the same as we will hear in a moment in the sermon. Joseph had the opportunity to seek revenge, but rather he sought to forgive, showing compassion on them. Our God is the same. Our God could exact vengeance upon us because of our sin, and yet to us He forgives His people and shows compassion, mercy upon them. So who will you be like? That's the question that we ask ourselves. Who will you be like when your brother or sister in Christ sins against you or offends you? Will you be like the bitter avenger or the merciful, forgiving one, as the Lord has forgiven you? Remember the Lord's Prayer, even Matthew 21. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." That is, He's saying, you just keep forgiving him. You just keep forgiving. There's no limit to how much you need to forgive someone. So who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to seek reconciliation with? Seek it. And be merciful, as your Father in heaven always is merciful towards you in Christ His Son. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise today for Your Word. We're thankful that it goes well with the sermon and Your providence, as it often does. We're thankful that You teach us and remind us again about unity in the church, about the need for reconciliation and forgiveness, repentance and forgiveness, to show mercy and compassion, be long-suffering and patient with one another. Well, Father, we pray that You would grow us in this. We are weak. We often are holding not forth mercy and compassion, but often anger, frustration, bitterness. And Father, we ask that You would turn our hearts from that way for the way that is holy and righteous as we follow after your Son, Jesus Christ. We are thankful that you, in your Son, Jesus Christ, forgave us all of our sins alone in him. And yet, will we turn around then and not forgive others? Father, we pray that you would make us to be like you and your Son, to be righteous as he is righteous, holy as he is holy, that we would be compassionate, full of mercy and grace, and love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that we would not hold grudges, that we would not be filled with bitterness, but that we would be a forgiving people, even forgiving from our hearts, not just with our words, but from our hearts. This is often hard for us. We're often filled with pride and think we deserve better. We think we ought to be owed more than what we received. But Father, we pray that you would humble us before your throne even now, realizing and remembering that you are the God of almighty power, who is holy, holy, holy. Father, we're thankful for the grace that you have poured out upon us. We're thankful. Dale is with us this morning, and we're thankful that his journey, though not necessarily according to his plan, worked out and it was successful. And we pray that the immigration process for his wife and child would be brought about quickly. And that thank you for helping him secure a marriage certificate. And Father, thankful that he is with us even this morning to worship you with your people. And Father, we're thankful that Arian is with us this morning as well, that you, Lord willing, are continuing to heal her. She's feeling better. We praise you for this. And pray that you'll continue to heal her of those blood clots. We praise you for Adasa and for all the reminders that of life in which we often take for granted, and how through her you're reminding us that little tiny things are a blessing from you. And thankful that more and more she's opening up her eyes and more and more breathing better and growing, and thankful even this week she was able to that somebody was donated a stroller that she might go on a stroller ride, and the nice day that we had, nice week that we had in the weather, and we're thankful for this, even just the little things that we often take for granted. We praise you for them, for breath and blood flowing and all the brain waves that you work in us, and all these are from you, and it comes by your grace. Often we overlook them, and yet there is always something to praise you for, from the littlest to the greatest, and we're thankful for all of them, even salvation in Christ your Son. I pray that from our lips, all of us, from the youngest, the babies, and all the way up to the oldest amongst us, that you would fill us in our hearts with your praise, that it would come forth from our lips to glorify you, and even to all nations, that many would hear the gospel and believe. We're thankful for the blood that Christ spilt for us, his body that was sacrificed for us. We're thankful that he rose from the dead, that he is now seated on the throne as our King, who's our advocate. Our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who lives to make intercession for us. And so we are thankful for the gospel. We are thankful for how you have given us the gift of faith and worked it in us by your Spirit. and all those here who may not know you, who do not know you, Father, we pray that they would turn unto you and they would believe unto salvation through Christ your Son. And only through him, for there's no salvation in anyone else or any other name under heaven except in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that we would all believe on his name as we believe on you. And then, Father, we ask that you would be with us as a congregation, that you would continue to grow us, continue to work in us and sanctify us and cleanse us of our sins. And we have sinned against you in many ways. And so, Father, forgive us. And thankful that you are just, righteous and just to forgive us. And cleanse us of all unrighteousness, that promise we hope in. And we put our trust in. Father, also we ask that you would grow us in number. Not so that we could be bigger, but so that your kingdom would keep expanding and that we would be able one day to plant a church, hopefully soon, another one, and then another one, Father, that we would be glorifying you through the expansion of your kingdom throughout the world. As we look in hope for those promises that we've looked at before and read in Scripture and heard and continue to see as many people are coming into your church and believing on Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. We pray that we would be used as your weak instruments in your kingdom for that purpose. And that we would seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Father, that is our prayer. We ask that you would answer according to your will. At the right time, you would bring in all the fullness of the Gentiles, the fullness of the Jews. That the nations would bow the knee, the rulers would bow their knee, and that even kings would bring gifts unto your Son, Jesus Christ, worshiping him and serving him. And that is what we hope in. We know it will come about at the right time. We pray that you would preserve us and sustain us and keep us from falling while we are still looking in hope for those things. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.